The Nourish and Shine podcast is provided for educational and informational purposes only, and it is not medical, mental health, or healthcare advice. The information presented here is not intended to diagnose, treat, heal, cure, or prevent any illness, medical condition, or mental or emotional condition. Please make sure you consult with a trusted healthcare professional before you make any changes. Welcome to Nourish and Shine, where I talk with passionate leaders in the fields of nutrition, functional and integrative medicine, and wellness, providing inspiration and practical advice to nourish your mind, body, and spirit, optimize your health, and live a whole, vibrant life starting now. Today, I am so excited about this episode. It's two of my favorite topics. We're talking women's health and hormones with Krista King. She's a registered dietitian nutritionist, and we are going to dive deep into all things hormones. So we're talking estrogen detox. We're talking how food affects your hormones. We even get into how your hormones relate to your chakras, which totally blows my mind and is amazing. So I hope you enjoy this episode. Please make sure to leave me a ratings or review. Then more people can hear the podcast. Welcome to Nourish and Shine. Today I'm talking with Krista King. She's a registered dietitian nutritionist from the Chicago area. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
Before we dive in, I would love for you to tell our audience about yourself.
Yeah, definitely. So like you mentioned, I am a registered dietitian nutritionist, and I am also an integrative and functional nutrition certified practitioner. So really what that means is with functional nutrition, meaning looking at the root cause of body imbalances and how all of the systems of the body work together, and integrative nutrition, really combining the kind of best of conventional nutrition or conventional medicine with more holistic practices. So that's really the lens through which I do my practice. And I primarily work with clients experiencing hormone issues, gut health issues, and anxiety, whether that may be general anxiety or anxiety around food or some body image as well.
So today we're really going to focus in on kind of those three areas. So gut health, hormones, and anxiety. But first I want to talk to you about what's available and like what's out there as far as testing goes, and how do you use that in your practice?
Yeah, there's a lot of great tests out there. For hormone testing, the test I use is called the Dutch hormone test, and Dutch stands for dried urine test for comprehensive hormones. And so this is a urine test, and the reason I like this test, and it's really great, is it gives us so much information. We can go to our doctor and get a blood test for hormones, but what this test does is, first of all, it's completed at home, so very convenient, but we're also getting a lot more information about the hormones, or as I like to say, our hormone story. What are they doing in our body? So we're testing our hormone levels, and then also what are called metabolites, or breakdown products of hormone metabolism. So we're getting, like I said, that story. And in addition, we're also looking at some specific vitamin markers like vitamin B12, B6, which play an important role in our hormone balance, and some markers of neurotransmitters, so some mood chemicals. So really gives us a ton of information that we can use to apply to what symptoms you're experiencing. And so this test is really great for any sort of menstrual issue like PCOS, extreme, any sort of period problems, endometriosis, period pain, cramping, just getting a good understanding of what your hormones are doing as they tie into some of these conditions and symptoms. Also, we're testing for cortisol, our stress hormone. So even if you're just feeling a little bit kind of burnt out or brain fog or some of these symptoms kind of more tied to our stress response, it's really good for that as well. So that is our hormone testing. And the gut health test that I use in my practice is called the GI map. And so what this test is doing, it's an at-home test as well, and it is a stool sample that gives us a lot of information about our overall gut health. So we're looking to see, is there anything hanging out in the gut that shouldn't be there, like a bacteria, virus, pathogen, or balance of good and bad bacteria, test for candida or fungal overgrowth, and some additional markers to test for our immune response and inflammation. So just a lot of good information for anybody experiencing gut issues, or maybe they've try to uncover the root cause with their doctor and may not have gotten the answers they've been looking for. It really rounds out and gives us some good information.
Let's dive into cortisol. I know we talked about it's the stress hormone, super important with downstream effects of the hormones. Can you talk about kind of the role of cortisol and then the rest of the hormones, and also some ways maybe to manage cortisol?
Yes, definitely. And so cortisol is our main stress hormone. And so I like to say or mention that cortisol isn't bad. We hear a lot about, I need to lower cortisol, and that may be true. But with cortisol, it is our stress hormone, and when we test it, it is presented kind of like a curve, or our cortisol curve. So what we want it to look like is highest in the morning and gradually decrease throughout the day. So that kind of aligns with where our energy should be. You know, it helps us get up and out of bed, take on our day, and then gradually wind down by the evening. However, what can happen is if we are constantly pressing the on button, if you will, with our stress or our cortisol response, kind of staying in this go, go, go kind of place, then we can stimulate our cortisol kind of all the time. So we do want it to be in that curve, but it also is produced when we experience what we often refer to as fight or flight, or we experience a stressor in a specific moment. So what should happen is that our cortisol is produced to handle the stressor and then go back down. But as I was mentioning, sometimes we end up in kind of this go, 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 keeping it in the on mode. So our body produces more cortisol to keep up with demands. And our cortisol is produced in our adrenal glands, which are little glands that just sit on top of our kidneys like little hats. And so our body produces more to keep up with demands, and then eventually may not produce as much as it should. So we can actually sometimes see lowered cortisol. And what is happening in the body when we have cortisol output, or we're stimulating our cortisol, or it's high, is everything that would happen in the body to physically run or fight happens. So our blood pressure increases, our blood sugar increases, so that we have energy to literally run, and we have oxygen circulating our body throughout the blood, so that's why our blood pressure rises. And our digestion and our reproduction actually takes a back seat because it's not deemed important in this moment. So that's where it starts getting into how our stress and keeping this stress response constantly on can start to have a downstream effect on the rest of our hormones, so specifically our sex hormones. And that's where we can start to see the link between stress and some of these menstrual or other hormonal conditions that are pretty prevalent today. We are just keeping this stress response kind of on, and then since all of our hormones are connected and kind of act in a cascade or like a domino effect, if we're pushing all of our resources to cortisol, which is really a protective measure our body has, our body's just trying to protect us, we can really see that downstream effect on the rest of our hormones. So what can we do about this? It's really getting clear on what is driving our stress. And so that can look different from person to person, but it's really taking some time to dig into what are the drivers of our stress. And so that could be mental, emotional stress, but that can also be physical stress, you know, from things we're eating, products we're using. But one thing I like to talk to my clients about and talk about a lot is how can you build your stress toolbox? So what are some things that you can turn to when you're feeling stressed out or kind of frazzled or things are out of control to really come back to the body? And one of my favorites is just deep breathing. So that's something that we can do no matter where we are. Even just 3 deep breaths brings us back to our center and helps to deactivate that fight or flight response and bring us back into the opposite response, which is our rest and digest.
I love that. And I know on your Instagram too, one of the things I saw was the meditation for hormone balance. And yes. I thought that was absolutely beautiful. Can you talk about that graphic a little? And for anyone interested, please go see her Instagram because I love, you have so many good infographics on there.
Thank you. Yes. So yeah, I recently shared meditation for hormone balance and all of the great benefits that it can have on our hormones specifically. So like I mentioned, that deep breathing or just getting into this more relaxing and restorative state helps us to lower cortisol. What we're doing when we stimulate cortisol, like I mentioned, that fight or flight response, that's stimulating what's called our sympathetic nervous system that kind of allows us to tackle that stressor. And that opposite response is our rest or digest. It stimulates the opposite, the parasympathetic nervous system. And so what that is doing, it helps us move out of fight or flight, move into rest and digest. And it helps to just bring us into a more calm and relaxing state. It can really help us to reduce stress and it can help improve just our concentration, our focus, our sleep, helps to ease anxiety. And what's actually physically happening in the body is just everything kind of the opposite, like I was explaining with that fight or flight response, and we're releasing feel good mood chemicals like our serotonin and oxytocin. So meditation sometimes can seem maybe like a daunting thing to start or maybe slightly confusing. I feel like there's a lot of, you know, things out there that we just have to sit on a meditation pillow and something will happen. And so I also like to mention that while that can definitely be how we meditate, just sitting and getting quiet, really any activity that brings you into a state of calm, or if you've ever experienced just a flow state that you're in. So anything you're doing that's creative or calm to you or a hobby, that can be meditation too.
What are some of your favorite ways to meditate?
Yeah, I find I really like to cook. And so just kind of throwing together different ingredients in the kitchen, that really is one way that I kind of get into that flow state. Or doing yoga, so doing like mindful movement. Some people that may be running or another activity, but movement-based meditation, that's also another really great one.
Let's talk about anxiety since we're kind of on the stress path, nutrition and anxiety, and how does that affect the hormones and gut health?
Yeah, definitely. So I think with anxiety, a lot of times we know it as something maybe emotional or mental, but there is a really strong physical link for anxiety as well. So I like to say that anxiety is a symptom that something is out of balance, whether that is physically in the body or emotionally. And a lot of times it's a combination of both. And so I also like to say it's kind of like your body's alarm system is going off saying there's something here to look at. And so when we're talking about the physical link or physical root causes of anxiety, we can see specific nutrient deficiencies, meaning we don't have some of the building blocks required for all of the processes to create our feel-good mood chemicals. And so the specific nutrients that I often see tied in with anxiety that we may not be getting enough of are B vitamins, specifically B6, B12, magnesium, zinc, or omega-3s. And tying into that, being on what I call the blood sugar roller coaster, so having highs and lows of blood sugar can really be tied to anxiety. So if we have a blood sugar crash, or maybe we're going a long period of time between meals, or we eat something that is not balanced out with some protein or healthy fat, we can be riding, like I said, the blood sugar roller coaster, where our blood sugar is spiking up and then crashing down. And that can really lead to anxiety in the body just as a symptom of the blood sugar. And those nutrients that I mentioned that are really needed to help our anxiety, like those B vitamins, magnesium, zinc, those are also a lot of the same nutrients that we need for building our hormones too. So we can see that there's that link between nutrient deficiencies, hormone imbalances, and anxiety presenting as a symptom.
That makes so much sense. And I love how you talk about the blood sugar roller coaster, because I'm kind of recovering from that blood sugar roller coaster, someone who experienced that for years and years. And the one thing I would say is that often related to hangry for me, like it was anxiety, but also hangry. What are some tips you have for kind of stabilizing blood sugar to get people off of the roller coaster?
Yeah. And I will say it's something that I struggled most of my life with as well. It was always a joke in my family that if I was getting a little irritated, the first thing wasn't talking about the problem. It was, have you eaten yet? So yeah. That kind of ties into number one, eating consistently. So not skipping meals. And so eating within, you know, an hour or two, or really honoring your hunger and fullness as well. So it's not saying to eat if you're not hungry, but being mindful of eating consistently. And what that means is about every 4 to 6 hours. It doesn't mean that's a hard set rule, but just to kind of have an idea of what that means, about 4 to 6 hours. And then I mentioned briefly, if we are balancing our meals with protein, healthy fat, and fiber, then that will help keep our blood sugar stable in between meals, so it's not spiking and then dropping an hour or two after we eat. A good example would be if we're having oatmeal, just like oats and water, and for breakfast, and maybe some cinnamon or something, and we feel hungry an hour or two later, well, those oats are carbohydrates. It's not really balanced out with some protein and healthy fat. So if we were to add a bit of protein powder, maybe some nuts and seeds, some fruit for some fiber, that will keep us fuller a lot longer and usually keep us good until our next meal. So that's an example of how protein and healthy fat can help to keep that blood sugar balanced. And with traveling, I say to just keep some snacks on hand so that you're not stuck in a situation where there's nothing around.
The other thing you want to talk about is estrogen detox, especially when we're on the topic of fiber. Can you talk about kind of hormone detox and what does that really mean?
Yeah. So when we are talking about detox, I feel like this is a huge buzzword in the wellness world. But when I'm using it, what I'm referring to is how the body naturally detoxifies. And our body needs to detoxify either toxins that are coming in either through the environment, our food, our water, and to clear those out of the body. But the body also breaks down and detoxifies certain products at the end of their life cycle in the body, like hormones. So hormones, they function and then they in the body, and then they move to the liver to be detoxified and cleared. And so that is what I'm referring to with detoxification. So that is our system in the body, mostly done in the liver, but the kidneys, the skin, our breath, and our digestive system all play a role as well of clearing toxins or, again, these products at the end of their life cycle in the body. And so that is what I'm referring to, not like a cleanse or a detox diet or program. And what I hear a lot is, you know, oh, we need to detox the body if we feel like we're going through a period of maybe eating in a way that we, you know, don't want to be, or, you know, after the holidays, it's a big time to hear, oh, I need to do a detox. And then I don't usually or ever recommend a restrictive cleanse or detox program. And so then I hear a lot of health practitioners on the other side, don't do those, which is what I'm saying as well. Your body detoxes on its own. And to that is correct, but there is a but. And that but is your body has these systems in place to detoxify your body. But there are specific nutrients that play a role in each step of the detox process. And so when we're talking about detoxification in the liver, and we can talk about estrogen because it will go to the liver to get detoxified, there's two steps in the liver. So first it goes there and it's converted into something else, and depending on what is getting detoxified, sometimes that can turn into something that is more harmful to the body. And so that's where when we hear about antioxidants or certain vitamins in a lot of times in our colorful fruits and vegetables, that is where those come in to help kind of tame how harmful these products are as they are moving into phase two, where they get combined with another nutrient to then be packaged up. I like to say it gets packaged up, picture like a present with a bow on it, which is pretty timely for the holiday season. And so then this package is then cleared from the body. So that's where the digestive system or the kidneys come in. So we're eliminating this either through the stool, urine, sweat, or the breath. And so with estrogen detox, we want to make sure that we are clearing estrogen from the body when it's at the end of its life cycle, because if we are not, then we can have that estrogen recirculating and see some of these either symptoms or conditions linked with estrogen dominance, which a lot of times we think of as elevated estrogen, but it can also be normal estrogen in relation to progesterone. So that's just a side note on estrogen dominance. But when we're talking about elevated estrogen and detox, if we're not clearing it properly or eliminating it properly, then we can see that kind of build up and recirculate in the body.
Yeah. And that's one of the main things I worry about with constipation and work with people on, is really having those regular bowel movements and plenty of fiber so that you aren't having as much, hopefully, reabsorption of like the 4 and 16 hydroxy estrogen metabolites. Do you have any other tips for that as far as preventing that reabsorption?
Yeah, like you mentioned, the helping to prevent the constipation is huge, because that is how we are really moving it out of the body. And there are certain foods that can help with the constipation piece specifically, so making sure we are getting enough fiber. And so I say fiber is always found in our plant-based foods. So fruit, vegetables, nuts, seeds, grains. But there are also certain foods that can help with those two steps in the detoxification process. A big one would be our cruciferous vegetables. So things like broccoli, cauliflower, Brussels sprouts, bok choy, those contain compounds that help to detoxify the estrogen in the liver. A couple others that can be helpful to support that process would be ground flax, organic, non-GMO soy, like tofu. Pumpkin seeds are also really great. And there are some supplements that can be helpful to support the liver or to support estrogen detoxification. Specifically, I like to put a little asterisk here and say it's really important when you're working on estrogen detox and supplements to work with a skilled provider who knows how these work. And I say that because there's always going to be a ton of supplements that we can take for everything. And so we want to make sure that we're taking what our body needs for that specific reason. And so that kind of circles back to those tests I mentioned, where we can do the hormone test to see exactly how your body is detoxifying estrogen to then apply a specific supplement to that if something is out of balance. So a couple of those that we see a lot of times for estrogen detox would be like DIM or calcium D-glucarate. Those are some that we can see that help to detoxify estrogen.
Moving into some of the common complaints around periods, do you have any go-to tips for people who are having problems with PMS?
A lot of times I say with hormone balance in general is the blood sugar balance piece is huge, what we were just talking about, because that is also tied into that stress response I mentioned with cortisol. When our cortisol is rising, then our blood sugar actually rises as well. And so since our stress can be at the root of a lot of our hormone problems, keeping blood sugar balanced is one thing that I talk about with every single client. And there are some specific nutrients or supplements that can be really helpful for PMS or painful periods. Vitamin B6, which I've mentioned, and magnesium and omega-3s. Those are ones that I typically see clients not getting enough of that can be really helpful with those cramps or the just painful symptoms. Some other ones would be reducing caffeine can be helpful for some people. Another supplement I use for some clients is Vitex, which helps to boost progesterone. A lot of times we'll see with some of these PMS symptoms, low progesterone, that ties back into the anxiety because our progesterone is our hormone that governs the second half of the menstrual cycle. If we're not producing enough, then we can end up in that estrogen dominant state. And progesterone is like our natural anti-anxiety. So if that's low, then we can experience that symptom as well.
As far as kind of your overall approach to healing, can you kind of tell me a little bit more about that?
I use a really holistic approach or an integrative approach to healing. So I always like to say that nutrition is my main tool, but there's other tools that we integrate as well. So when I'm working with a client, I have them fill out a comprehensive intake form to really understand what exactly is going on in the body to really individualize the approach. And so what we will work on is setting a balanced nutrition foundation. So making sure that we are getting what we need through food, keeping in mind that blood sugar balance kind of at the root of that, and adding in any specific foods that may be helpful for their specific condition. And with supplements, I use them in just that way to supplement or to help rebalance for a specific amount of time in a way that will help, again, with their condition. And we will also talk about other lifestyle factors. So we may talk about sleep or exercise is a big one. I'm seeing a lot of cortisol imbalance and a bit of excessive exercise. And so how we can tone down some of the exercise and not stopping it completely, but how can we shift our focus from some of these higher intensity workouts to incorporating some lower intensity strength training, yoga, Pilates, and really tapping into mindful movement. So how does exercise feel in the body? And really another approach too is how does all of this fit into your specific schedule? So I'm working with a lot of busy professionals, people who travel for work, people who just don't have a ton of time to be cooking for every single meal. So how can we take all of this information and boil it down into a way that is realistic and makes sense? And touching on that integrative approach as well, I know that I have a lot of tools, but I don't have every tool. So recommending other practitioners as part of the healthcare team as needed. So whether that's acupuncture or therapy may be a big one. I on my intake forms ask a health and significant life events timeline, which gives me a lot of information about what may have been going on in life around the time that these symptoms started presenting. And so there's a lot that we can dig into and help to balance through food and nutrition. But so often I'm seeing that there is a huge link between the things that we have gone through in life that start showing up in the body later on. And a lot of those things can be really helpful to work through with a great therapist.
Emotions, a lot of times stored, can really manifest physically. And I know you work with hormones and the chakras too. And I would love to hear more about that.
Yeah. So I've done a couple workshops on this, and I think it's really an exciting topic to go over. It's more just interesting than anything. And so really, chakras are basically energy points along the body. So there's 7 of them along the spine. And so they're kind of like a wheel. The word chakra means wheel or vortex. You can think of it like a ball of energy at each of the at 7 points along the spine. And so each one represents a different aspect of our world or our being. And so along each of those 7 points where the chakras are aligns with a specific hormone or hormone system that really aligns with the meaning of the chakra. So it's so interesting. So for example, our root chakra is our space of security and survival. This is located right by our adrenals, which is where our cortisol or our stress response is. So that is really tied together. And this is a lot of times the root of a lot of our problems. This is where our stress response is happening. Then moving up along the spine, so that root chakra starts around the base of the spine, we have our sacral chakra, which is located just below your belly button. And so this is tied to our emotional space or our creative space. And so this is tied to our reproductive or sex hormones, so our estrogen, progesterone, testosterone. And then moving up from there, our solar plexus. So this is our space of our personal power. And this is tied to our digestive hormones. So it's right around where our stomach is. And so if we have a lot of gut issues going on, it's really interesting to dig into a little bit of how have you noticed threats to your personal power in your life or problems asserting yourself. And then moving up, we have our heart space, and that is linked to our thymus gland. We have our throat chakra tied to our thyroid, and this is our space of communication, also creativity, kind of our speech. And then moving up, we have our third eye in the middle of our forehead. So that's our space of intuition. And this is really the seat of kind of like the controller of our hormones and our pituitary gland. So our hormones get messages from the brain. So the pituitary gland sends out a message to the other systems of the body to release hormones. So the brain's kind of like our watchtower scanning the body to see, does a hormone need to be raised or lowered? And so that is our pituitary gland sending those messages tied to our third eye, our seat of intuition. And then our seventh chakra, our crown chakra at the top of our head, that is our pineal gland. And so that is our gland that releases melatonin, so tied to our sleep space, and it's our space of our spiritual wisdom.
Oh my gosh, I love this approach. This is so neat.
So we can explore, you know, if we're experiencing period problems or hormone imbalances, how maybe something in our emotional space has been affected in our life. Or, for example, if we're experiencing any stress-related or kind of fatigue, we can take a look at in what ways have we experienced a threat to our security or survival. We can see this with autoimmune conditions sometimes. So it's more just kind of an interesting link to dig into.
I love that. I love doing like chakra testing. This just totally is right down my alley. So thank you for sharing that. And the other thing I wanted to make sure to talk about today is your courses. And you have a monthly membership. Can you kind of walk me through the Heal Your Period online course, what all that involves, and then also the Busy Happy Hormones monthly membership? I want to hear all about that.
Yeah, definitely. So my online course is Heal Your Period. So it is a self-guided online course with 8 modules that give you everything that you need to know to achieve a regular pain-free period. And so I go through everything that you'll need to know, how your hormones work, how your hormone or how your period works, and the difference between what's your period versus your menstrual cycle. I go over all of the lab testing that can be helpful to get checked based on your symptoms. I talk about nutrition strategies for healing with food. I go into supplements based on specific imbalances that you identify based on a symptom questionnaire that you complete in the workbook. I have a whole module on troubleshooting symptoms, so you can scroll to your exact symptom and look at specific nutrition and lifestyle recommendations for troubleshooting those symptoms. And then I also go into holistic lifestyle strategies and as well the emotional and spiritual tools. So this is a space where I do go into the chakras and the hormones, for example, and dig a little more into that emotional and spiritual connection for why this may be presenting in the body. And I have 3 bonus modules for more information specific to PCOS, endometriosis, and hypothalamic amenorrhea in the course. So it's totally self-guided, and you get to be a part of the private Facebook community as well with the course.
Awesome. And how long does the course usually take to complete?
So it is quick. Total, there is about 5.5 hours of video content. And I made it that way so that you can sit down and complete it all on a weekend if you really wanted to, or spread it out. And so I really packaged it in a way to get you the information as quick as possible with a lot of additional handouts and resources and tools to spend more time digging into it, but so that it's quick to do a once over and then dig back into what applies most to you.
I love that. That's nice that you can fit it into a reasonable amount of time.
Yeah.
Especially for people with a busy schedule.
Definitely.
So tell me about your membership too.
Yeah. So I have my membership, Busy Happy Hormones. It is a monthly membership. And what I found was, you know, we've been talking a lot about stress and anxiety and all of these hormone issues that we're seeing as well. And also a lot of confusion or just not sure how to go about even starting to manage some of the stress. So I wanted to provide a way to have, again, community, but also bite-sized healing tools that you can fit in throughout the month that aren't overwhelming but are really helpful. So it's not adding another thing to your to-do list, but gives you some guidance on how to start managing stress with the intention of healing your hormones. So what I have here is a monthly mantra, so a theme for the month. I do a card draw message of the month, so I'll draw a card from one of my decks, and that will be the message for the month. I do a quick guided meditation, a really simple journaling tool, some recipes for happy hormones, a book club of what I'm reading this month, and then again, you get to be a part of the Facebook community, and you also get a discount to use on any program or service or health test as well.
Since we're nearing the end of the interview, I just want to ask you two final questions. The first one is, what does the word nourish mean to you?
Yeah, it is really tapping into what your body needs. So I would say nourish means to me listening to your body.
And what's one thing you're consistent about with self-care?
With self-care, I am always consistent with my nighttime routine. I will always do that no matter what. So I love my skincare routine and just winding down in the evening. And so I'm always consistent with that.
Oh, I love it. Okay, you have to tell me, what's your skincare routine?
So I really love the brand Osmia Organics. And so they have a really great black clay facial soap, and they have really great serums to use as well. And their face masks are great. I think I've tried every single product they have, and they're really great.
One last question I forgot to ask you, which is burning on my mind. As far as nutrition goes, and balancing hormones, do you ever work with nutrition, like changing it up based on the week or like based on the time in the cycle?
Yeah. So there are definitely some strategies that can be helpful for mixing it up throughout the cycle. I do like to say that these things are not, you know, specific rules that you have to put on yourself and, you know, oh, I can only eat these foods at this time. But an example would be when you're on your period, you may gravitate more towards more grounding, nourishing foods like soups or stews with some more protein or omega-3s. So getting those fatty acids in right before your period starts, right after, some iron-rich foods to help replenish iron stores lost in the blood. And you may gravitate more towards some lighter and fresher foods, probiotic foods to help balance the gut bacteria. There is also a lot of talk about seed cycling, which you may have seen, which is the concept of rotating seeds throughout the cycle. So it's 1 tablespoon of pumpkin and 1 tablespoon of ground flax seed. So pumpkin seeds and ground flax seeds in the first half of your cycle, meaning day one, which is the first day of your period, to ovulation, and then ovulation through until the next day one of your next period would be a tablespoon of sunflower seeds and ground sesame seeds or tahini. And so this is something where there isn't a ton of research on the exact concept of seed cycling. There is research on each of these specific seeds and how it helps to balance the hormones. Anecdotally, it has worked well for a lot of my clients either experiencing a slightly long period or missing period, get it back. And so that can be debated whether is it rotating the seeds or is it just adding these seeds and getting these specific nutrients in, because it does have those nutrients that we may be missing that I mentioned, like zinc and magnesium. But if it's working, it works, and there's no harm in trying the seed cycling or just adding in more of those seeds throughout the cycle in general.
And what are your thoughts on low carb and kind of that whole thing right now as far as it goes with how it affects hormones?
Yeah. So if we are too low in carbohydrates, it could really put our body into a kind of a stress state. And so we do need a balance of carbohydrates. How much really does depend on the person and their specific metabolism. But my approach is not restricting any sort of nutrient and really working with the client to identify how much works for their body.
Wonderful. Well, I know people are going to want to connect with you. What are the best ways for them to find you online?
Yeah, you can find me on Instagram at Composed Nutrition. And I am also on my website at composednutrition.com, where you can find links to the program, the membership that we talked about.
Wonderful. And I'll link everything up in the show notes as well. Thank you so much for sharing your light and all your wisdom. It's been wonderful.
Thank you so much for listening to Nourish and Shine. I hope that you enjoy this episode and that you'll leave me a review on iTunes so that more people can hear the podcast. I'd also love to connect with you on social media. You can find me on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. I would love to hear your questions, so please send them my way. Also, you can check out my website. It's amysopola.com. I hope that today's interview provided you with some inspiration and practical advice to nourish your mind, body, and spirit, optimize your health, and to live a whole, vibrant life. Please join me again next week for another amazing interview. Have a wonderful week. The Nourish and Shine podcast is provided for educational and informational purposes only, and it is not medical, mental health, or healthcare advice. The information presented here is not intended to diagnose, treat, heal, cure, or prevent any illness, medical condition, or mental or emotional condition. Please make sure you consult with a trusted healthcare professional before you make any changes.